This is News Director Larissa Donovan continuing on the campaign trail as we wind down this election season. Only, what, like 3 weeks to go? I am joined in studio by the incumbent candidate for District 1 in Beltrami County, Craig Gosvick. Welcome.
Thank you, Larissa. Really great to be here, and thank you for the opportunity to reach out to Beltrami County's voters.
Well, I am a firm believer of having a viciously overinformed electorate, so I try to give them as many opportunities to learn more about the people who are vying for our votes. So what can you tell us about yourself, Craig?
Well, thanks again. As a lifelong resident of Beltrami County, I know a lot of the people in our community already, but for those that don't know me, my wife Karen has put up with me for over 26 years. I've got two grown adult sons, James and Jonathan, and they are both hardworking young men. My parents, George and Kate L., still live out where I grew up, out by Pinewood in District 3. I graduated from BSU with a degree in mathematics and a secondary teaching license, and however, when I graduated back in the early 90s, there weren't very many teaching openings, so I ended up staying in a sales role that I was in, and that led to another sales role, and I've been with North Country Business Products in a sales representative experience there for over 28 years now, and that gives me a lot of local business experience.
Before we started recording today, you told me all about how you guys set up these phones that are reaching the end of their useful life. But
yeah, I think I don't think I probably expected they'd still be in here after 20 plus years.
Oh, we can surprise you in the radio business how long we keep old things going. No dig on my coworkers, for those who may be listening. But first ran for the District 1 seat in 2018. You had a pretty swift victory there, as I recall. What are some of the experience, like, what have you learned? Like, you know, you go in, you file the name, like, yeah, this will be great. Like, have you learned, like, were there things that you did not expect in county government?
Probably the biggest thing that maybe wasn't as aware of is how many other boards and committees I would want to be on and be on as part of being a commissioner.
It's like a full-time job, huh?
It's very much a full-time job in addition to my full-time job. And so, yeah, being the serving the past 4 years as District 1 commissioner has been a privilege. And prior to that, I was actually on the Port Hope Town Board. So I did have some prior experience. I was on that for 12 years. I was a supervisor for Port Hope Township for 12 years. And then I'm currently on the Beltrami Electric Board of Directors, and this is my sixth year on serving on that too. So I get some board leadership training and things like that with regard to being on boards. But the county board, has offered me the opportunity to be on, like I say, these other committees, the Cass Lake Rural Fire Association. I was able to use my business experience to help them save over $50,000 on an emergency squad vehicle.
Hey, not too bad.
Yeah, and recently they nominated me and elected me as the chair of that board, and so I'm happy to serve on that. Black Duck Ambulance Tri-County Emergency Services Board is another one. Matter of fact, I've got the meeting with Cass Lake tonight and Black Duck tomorrow.
All over the place.
Yeah, and I'm the chair of that one now, too, as well. So I got nominated for that this year, too. Airport Authority is a new one that I took over because both of our current representatives, Commissioner Lukacik and Commissioner Olson, are not going to be on the board anymore. And so I volunteered to take that role on as well to hopefully have some continuity, which is another reason why I'm running again, is with that, with for sure two new commissioners. I felt that it would be probably a good idea for us to have some continuity of service and experience, especially with the big projects like the jail and other things looming to have been on it from the ground floor, so to speak.
Well, you brought it up, county jail.
Yeah.
It's going to impact the taxes of a generation, basically. The bonds generally take 30 years to fully mature. It's a big project. What direction do you think the county board should take? I know you're still compiling information and stuff as a commissioner.
Yep.
But from the outside looking in, what are you thinking?
From the outside looking in, we did get the survey results up to date so far, anyways, last night at our board meeting. And that was pretty much in sync with what the justice planners had come up with and what most of the constituents that I've heard from have all been in favor of. That they, and one constituent actually told me it was a no-brainer to him that we would build a new facility. I mean, just, you know, if you look at what the costs are going to be to do nothing and these other, and then where our money is going outside the county, and the residents are not able to see the inmates, that makes it even more difficult,
right,
to get the inmates to be able to hopefully be in programming. There's no, there's not the opportunity for programming. There's just so many reasons that a new facility would be I think the better choice. And so that's the direction I'm leaning. And I think the rest of the board, from the sound of it, is leaning that direction as well. But the rest of the, you know, we're still taking surveys till the end of the month, and we're, you know, going to make the ultimate decision on November 15th.
All right, and it's a big decision with a lot of unknowns yet, so we'll be following this one closely. As you've been working on your campaign, what are some of the issues you've been hearing from your current constituents and potential, and of course some new ones with the redistricting?
Well, one other thing to add with regard to the jail, I do have a finance committee meeting on that today, and we are looking at the potential also with a new facility would be the local option sales tax option, and that would afford us to be able to bring in some money from outside the county to help pay for the construction of a new facility. And then we also have to, if we do decide to move forward with a new facility, then we also have to look at the location of where does it make sense to put it. And I think, you know, we have three potential options real close to the current facility, so we could hopefully utilize some of the expense that we had in the, we're actually still paying off the loan that they did prior to me getting on the board for remodeling the kitchen area, and that was built big enough to handle a larger facility. So it would be nice if we could utilize the few million dollars that were spent on remodeling that.
And that we still owe on,
that we still owe on. Obviously you don't want to, if it doesn't make financial sense or you know, if it's not efficient enough or whatever. But looking at, is a central school property an option? Could we build a tunnel down the alleyway to the central school property? Is the parking lot next door? But then, you know, figuring out what could we do for parking to still have enough parking for everybody. But somewhere close in proximity to the current facility, I think, could be ideal. So sorry for, I just wanted to add that.
I totally don't blame you for that. But, back to the question I kind of popped in there with. Yep. What are some of the issues you've been hearing from your constituents and the new ones since you've been redistricted?
Mostly roads, obviously the jail project and stuff like that, and the property valuations with inflation and the property valuations skyrocketing. People are concerned about, you know, how that's going to affect their taxes this coming year, and rightfully so. I mean, that's, our county only has about 25% taxable property in it, and so it's really tough. We have to try to keep fiscally responsible whenever possible, this project, that's another reason why I think the local option sales tax, to keep the money off of our property taxes as much as possible. If we do any of the other, or most of the other options, then it all falls on property taxes.
And I was reviewing these presentations from Justice Planners, it says about 60% of the inmates live in Beltrami County residents, and about 40% are from out of county.
And that's roughly about the same numbers that we're told that the local option sales tax money would be, that roughly 40% or so of it would come from outside the county. So it kind of makes sense that way.
But additional taxes on, they'll get you one way or the other, it seems.
Yeah, but at least the sales tax is more of a, it's not such a regressive tax. The people that can afford to
buy more are
paying that tax versus, they're not, the essential stuff, food and clothing are not taxed.
At least so far.
Well, yeah.
Minnesota, can land always
of,
change.
Minnesota, the land of 10,000 taxes.
Another issue I've been hearing a lot about is, concerns about crime, public safety, and, it all kind of, it seems like it's a continuum, housing, poverty, education, all sorts of stuff run the gambit about these big social ails that, largely falls on county taxpayers' backs to try to figure it out.
Yeah, it's a web of interrelated issues, and mental health is another big one, and
chemical dependency, yeah.
and so many of those issues are all interrelated, and we have to try to do what we can, but always be conscious of how much it's costing our taxpayers also, because we've lost some businesses to neighboring counties because of the high taxes in our area, and I've heard from residents that they're close to fed up and wanting to move also because of the high taxes, and so you got to find that balance. And you have to have the services, and I fully support our law enforcement and the public safety in general.
But that's also entirely funded by the levy.
It is, and that's one of the big big pieces. So, you know, a lot of the Health and Human Services budget is too. Fortunately, we do get some help from the state on and other programming from the for the Health and Human Services, but at the end of the day, it's a huge department, and we actually now we're going to be looking at hiring a new Health and Human Services director. Becky's announced her retirement, so that's on the agenda too for our
big news.
Our board is going to need to be making a decision. Actually, the existing board, it sounds like, is probably going to have to make that decision because Becky's going to be done as of January 3rd.
So, okay.
So lots going on, and there again, using my background in math is kind of a logic-based, common sense-based decision-making process, and so I want to continue to do that along with my experience from the last 4 years and all my other business experience and other experience to try to make those decisions as good as I can. I think I was very happy with our choice on Administrator Barry. I think he's been doing a great job for us, and I was instrumental in helping choose Commissioner Administrator Barry. So.
All right, and with staffing being a large part of the county budget, what are some of the how has the county been able to retain its staff? Do you think more can be done to retain and recruit staff members?
Yeah, that's a good question, Larissa. We have done quite a bit already. We've made some huge inroads. Calandra Allen, our jail administrator, and the sheriff, and their task force that they had, Administrator Barry, on recruitment and retention of our corrections officer staffing. We were down to like 38% staff at one point, and now we're close to fully staffed there. And that was largely in part due to them, coming up with recruitment, retention, and rewarding basically the staff that have stuck it through and helped us through all this tough time. And we just completed our contracts with all eight unions and gave them some pretty significant raises, and they were warranted. We had some staff that left to go to neighboring counties doing the same job, making quite a bit more per hour. And so that tells you that, hey, we're comparable worth is definitely needing an adjustment here. So,
and they might have gone to some counties without any trees or lakes.
Well,
that could have happened.
Yeah, this one wasn't. But
okay,
yeah,
fair enough.
Yep.
Well, are there any other issues that that are top of mind to you as we're winding down this election season?
Let's see. One thing that comes to mind is promoting childcare. We're in such a dire need for childcare in our community, and I know we started working with Greater Bemidji on the first floor of our Health and Human Services building, where the school moved out of, and that would have been. It is still set up perfect. We haven't done anything with it yet because technically they're still under contract there. But I really want to push to try to get that. We were looking at a 75-seat childcare facility there. If we can get other businesses in the community to help step up to make that happen, that would be huge. It still wouldn't
solve
the problem.
A drop in the bucket for like the 1,000 spots we need.
Yeah, exactly, but it would be a step in the right direction, a huge step in the right direction. And I've been promoting that even from my other hat. Beltrami Electric Director, I've brought that up several times at our meetings at that organization as well. Can we partner with Public and Communications maybe to do that, or just try to promote childcare, because our community is going to have a tough time growing if we don't have childcare.
And it's one of the most important things, I think, as a mom, we can do for our community, where kids can grow in a safe and acceptable environment where they are loved and accepted. I think the world will be just that much better of a place.
Absolutely. So that's one of the other things that comes to mind. Protecting our environment with, I'm the chair of the One Watershed, One Plan Committee, and we've got a lot of great things going there. We got, that has hit the ground running, and looking forward to continuing serving on that if I get reelected here. So the HRDC, I got elected to the executive board of that this year, and that's a great organization that does a lot of good, whether it's transportation or housing and a lot of those things. So it's really fun to serve on that board and honored to have been elected to the executive board there. If we're getting to the end, I would wrap it up by just saying that I'm a fair, consistent, and approachable person. I answer my phone, I respond to my emails, I I listen and follow through when people contact me. I had a resident contact me recently about one of the roads up in my new district, and I was happy to report back to him that it's on our five-year plan, and we'll be getting completely redone in 2025. And so the light at the end of the tunnel wasn't great news that it's not going to be done next year, but it is going to get done. And you know, my experience as a proven leader of Beltrami County District 1 and with my rural conservative values, I ask for their vote anytime between now and November 8th.
All right. Thank you so much. Craig Gosvig, incumbent candidate for Beltrami County District 1.